These messages are primarily for people in the work-a-day world who want to see their loved ones, their co-workers, and their neighbors come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. People who have family members that they want to share with, but they just don't know where to start.
Are you terrified to evangelize for fear you don't know enough facts? Do you think you need the debating prowess of a master attorney to even get started? Well, today on The Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green will set you straight. With the Bible in hand, you're fully equipped. Hi, I'm Bill Wright, and we're about to embark on a brief but powerful series titled Confident Evangelism. And Don, there really is no reason to fear evangelizing, is there?
Well, Bill, there's really not any reason for fear, not when you know the truth as it's found in Scripture. What we're going to try to do today, my friend, is help you understand how good theology informs your approach to sharing Christ with your unbelieving friends. Let me encourage you. You don't have to be an expert in philosophy. You just need to remember some basic truths found in Scripture and then speak that truth in love. When you do that, you can trust God with the results. Stay with us as we look at more on the Truth Pulpit today.
Thanks, Don. And friend, have your Bible at the ready as we join our teacher now in the Truth Pulpit.
When it comes to the whole matter of apologetics and evangelism, that many well-meaning, well-trained friends of ours, people we would consider friends theologically, that those people have a tendency to make this all too complicated. And for the man who just works in the world, for the woman who stays at home and deals with her neighbors, I'm afraid that those well-meaning people make it all too complicated for them. They talk about apologetics with deep philosophical arguments that sometimes I don't get. Or others would come and say, and just pile up mountains of facts and evidence and say, you need to know this in order to share your faith to an unbelieving world. I remember seeing as a new Christian a video along those lines, a six-part video, and all of the evidence they said you had to know before to be able to share the faith. I said to myself, I can't remember all that stuff. Do you mean to say that I can't share Christ if I can't remember all of that stuff? Somewhere along the lines, we have to come back to the Scriptures and approach it from that perspective, because that kind of over-sophistication and over-emphasis on evidence can paralyze you into silence. Beloved, saying this to people who have been at Grace Church for a number of years, you get paralyzed into the silence. All the while, you possess more than enough knowledge in the Bible to be able to share the gospel effectively with the lost. There's no reason for us to be paralyzed into silence. None. Now, other well-meaning people, and I'm not trying to pick fights here, I'll let you know when I'm trying to pick a fight. Today is not one of those days. Other well-meaning people go to the other extreme, or go to another extreme, I should say. They would reduce your Christian witness, the idea of being a Christian testimony in the world, to simply being friendly with people. The kind of this sense that if you're nice enough and you don't cuss and all of that, that without being too confrontational, maybe there's this sense in which an unbeliever will somehow catch on and ask some questions. And with that perspective, you lapse into silence for a different reason, mistakenly thinking that being a good guy is enough to communicate the gospel. Beloved, that is inadequate. The Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We do witness by our lives, but ultimately the witness must be verbal. How can they hear, Paul said in Romans 10, unless they have a preacher, unless someone speaks the truth of the gospel? You can be the nicest guy in the world and they're still going to go to hell because they haven't heard the gospel. Sooner or later, we have to speak. I want to give you five things that will make it easier for you to witness for Christ. Because the battle is spiritual, the battle for us is primarily mental in overcoming the hindrances that would keep us, those internal hindrances that would keep us from speaking. And let me be very clear about what I'm trying to do here. I'm not trying to teach a seminary course here. I'm not trying to impress authors in apologetics with what I'm about to say, although I think it's consistent with good apologetics. No, These messages, these two messages, are primarily for people in the work-a-day world who want to see their loved ones, their co-workers, and their neighbors come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. People who have family members that they want to share with, but they just don't know where to start. Because my fundamental conviction in that arena is this. There is no value in winning an argument about the existence of God. There is no value in winning an argument about the comparative truth claims of Christianity if the unbeliever walks away without hearing the gospel, without hearing about Christ crucified, Christ resurrected for the payment of sins, for the imputation of righteousness by faith. There's no value in that. If we walk away and we have an argument and we think we got the upper hand and we go to another believer and give them the high five that I smoked him in the argument, and yet this unbeliever walks away without being confronted in his sins and hearing about the love of Christ, I don't know what we've accomplished. And so we need to get real specific. If you agree with that basic assumption, that there's no value in walking away having won an argument if someone walks away without hearing the gospel, then you will find that it quickly narrows the scope of things that you want to talk about in those kinds of discussions. And so, what we want to do is just look at these five principles that will frame your approach to spiritual discussions, narrow the focus, and give you confidence in being able to speak out when those opportunity comes. We'll cover two principles today. First principle is this. This is foundational. This is absolutely foundational. First principle that you need to preach to yourself as you think about these matters is number one, remember the sufficiency of the Scriptures. Remember the sufficiency of the Scriptures. Here's what I mean by remember the sufficiency of the Scriptures. Everything that is needed to bring a soul to Jesus Christ is found in the pages of Scripture. Everything that you need to lead a soul to Christ is found in the pages of Scripture. That is immensely liberating. Because what that means is that you do not have to know a whole lot of extra biblical stuff in order to be an effective witness for Christ. It might be good to know things about science, things about other areas that sometimes impact these discussions. But at the end of the day, when you're talking about someone being lost in sin and Jesus being the only Savior, what you need to carry out that discussion is found in the pages of Scripture as revealed by the Spirit of God. I want to give you just a few familiar verses to help you remember that and to call that to mind, because this is where our confidence is. This is where our power is. This is the only message that we really have. Listen. Scholarly archaeologists can debate back and forth about the meaning of archaeology in Israel. But that doesn't mean that they have the gospel. What we have to do is we've got to come back and just remind ourselves and put, in a sense, put some blinders on until it is settled in our hearts that the Scriptures are what we need to be able to carry out this discussion with an unbeliever. Let me give you two or three passages here. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You say, I've never studied. I've never been to seminary. That doesn't keep you from being an effective witness to Christ. It doesn't. If you can simply be a man or woman of the book. Another passage that I come back to again and again, as the years go by, and I'd like you to turn there, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we'll bounce around in a couple of different passages as we just try to pull some thoughts together to help us in this area. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 97. As we consider the sufficiency of Scripture, Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged because I have observed your precepts. Beloved, the simple mind immersed and engaged in believing the scriptures is a powerful tool in the hands of the Spirit of God to be a testimony for Christ. It is not a seminary degree that makes someone effective in that way. A seminary degree is fine as far as it goes. I've been to seminary, but don't think for a moment that a lack of formal training keeps you from being effective in handling the scriptures and having insight in order to be able to lead someone to a knowledge of Christ. That's not true. The scriptures are enough. The scriptures are enough, and that should give you confidence. From a New Testament perspective, turn to 2 Timothy, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse 13 here and read. We'll be in this passage for just a few moments. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, says this. It says, "But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." So you have evil men, sinful men around. You have false teachers. You have imposters claiming to be teachers of God, spokesmen for God, but all they are doing are deceiving and they are being self-deceived. What does Paul say to Timothy in the midst of that environment, which mirrors our own? He says, "But you, Timothy, however, here's what you do." He said, "You continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." He says, "Timothy, go back to the scriptures in the midst of this spiritually deceptive environment. Go back to the scriptures." And in passing, Paul says something that is so important to us today. For our purposes, he says, "They are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Given the way that I framed the discussion, that we're simply engaged in trying to be effective in sharing the gospel to the lost so that they hear and understand their need to repent and put their faith in Christ, this passage teaches us that the scriptures are enough. And so here's what that means, beloved. You do not have to know, for example, the latest spin on evolutionary theory to confront an unbeliever with his sin and to call him to repentance and faith in Christ. That is liberating. That is absolutely liberating because your power comes from the scriptures. That kind of scientific knowledge has its place. I am glad that there are men who carry this discussion for the greater Christian community, but for the man in the workaday world who's just trying to be an effective witness for Christ, understand that it is in this book that you find your power and your sufficiency to do that. And if you think about it this way, evolutionary theory, even the best creationist approach to evolutionary theory, by itself does not communicate the gospel, does it? Does it? Thank you. And so just keep it straight in your mind what the issues are and what it is that you're trying to do. If you're wanting to communicate the gospel, then the scriptures are where you want to go. And so if you're a fairly new Christian and you're a little bit unsure about where all of this takes you, simply memorize some key Bible verses that talk about sin, about the person and work of Christ, salvation by faith, and then trust the Spirit of God to bring those to your mind at just the right time in the midst of those discussions. Let the Bible be the issue. Let the Bible, which is sufficient to give the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, be the point of discussion. Now, with that said, and kind of an easy bridge to what we're saying here, it's not just that the scriptures are sufficient for the unbeliever to come to Christ. The scriptures are also sufficient to make you adequate as you share Christ. Look at verses 16 and 17 there in 2 Timothy verse 3, where Paul says, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Sharing the gospel is a good spiritual work. The scriptures are inspired by God, period. And those very scriptures are what make you adequate to share the gospel. They make you adequate to explain the way of salvation. And as you are pursuing the scriptures in a growing relationship with Christ day by day, God uses that growing walk to make you adequate for every good work that He puts in your path, including those times where you're called upon to declare your faith. Absolutely. No question about it. And without a doubt, most of us in those discussions will face questions that we don't know the answer to. That doesn't mean that you know all of the answers up front. And if you're new to sharing the gospel, if you're a fairly new Christian, don't worry about that, the fact that you don't know the answer. Just simply say, that's a good question. I'll get back to you on that. If you're here at Grace Church, you've got abundant people and resources around you to help answer whatever question is going to come up. And so you find the answer and you get back to them. It's not that complicated. That doesn't need to keep you back from proclaiming Christ. And so the first key for you to start with, this is absolutely the fundamental cornerstone of being an effective witness for Christ, is that you are convinced in the authority and power of Scripture. It is genuinely the Word of God. It is genuinely able to impart the knowledge that leads to salvation, and it is genuinely able to make you adequate for the task at hand. Don't run from it, thinking that you're not prepared. If you're a Christian and you know something about the Scriptures, God has enabled you to be able to speak. So speak. Speak as one in the presence of God, obeying the commandment of God, not as one trying to measure up to the standard that you see in teachers around you. And you say, I don't know as much as my teachers. Big deal. God didn't put your teacher in the middle of that discussion. He puts you there. So speak. Now, this question comes up all the time, and we'll transition out a little bit. So what happens? The unbeliever says, I don't accept the authority of the Bible. You're just assuming what you want to prove or whatever. When that happens, and it will happen, beloved, do not think like this. Do not think like this. Don't say to yourself, uh-oh, now I've got to find some other way to defend the faith here. This is really, you're at a fork in the road when that happens. And far too often we take the fork that says, well, let's talk about something other than the Bible, and I can show you that what I think is kind of reasonable, and then we'll get back to the Bible later, whether you articulate it that way or not. The assumption, and it comes from persuasive areas of apologetics, is that you have to be prepared to use something other than the Bible to reach Him for Christ. And what they will tell you is that your goal is to show them that it's extremely probable that Christianity is true. And you pile up this evidence. You say, isn't it more likely than not that Christianity is true? Beloved, that approach, I'm sorry, I say it to friends, that approach is a denial of what we believe. You do not have the liberty to say the gospel is more probably than not true. The Bible is absolutely true. The gospel is absolutely true. You do not have the liberty to qualify it and bring it down from absolute to maybe it's probable. God has spoken. To cast doubt on that, especially as a believer in Christ, is to call His credibility into question. We always proclaim the gospel from a dogmatic insistence that it is absolutely true. No matter how much we stand in the face of an onslaught of criticism that says, I don't believe the Bible, you're arguing in circles or whatever. You never back away from that point. I must have a thing for military illustrations this morning because I have another one for you to illustrate that very point. You don't run from that fight about the authority of Scripture. When this issue comes up, you don't try to go around it. You face it head on. Our beloved Travis Allen, as most of you know, was a Navy SEAL. For some reason, he found enjoyment in his younger days sleeping on rocks and learning how to kill people with his bare hands. I'm usually careful how I frame an argument with Travis. You remember, I don't work out. I told you that earlier. Travis has often told me that part of his training as a Navy SEAL was how to respond to an ambush. When you come under fire unexpectedly, how do you respond to that? And more particularly, how do you respond to a well-planned ambush by the enemy that doesn't leave you with a route of escape? You're kind of surrounded and the fire's coming from this direction. What do you do there? Travis has told me, he said, what you do in that middle of that ambush is you stand up, you get on line with where that's coming from, and you start walking right in the direction of where the firing is coming from, firing your weapon all the time. You meet the assault head on. You don't run from it. You walk straight into that battle. Well, beloved, what I want to tell you is, it is the exact same way when you assert the authority of Scripture. When an unbeliever, either through hostility or through ignorance, attacks the Bible, says, I don't believe the Bible, beloved, you have to recognize and understand that when the conversation gets to that point, there is a direct attack on the heart of your faith. There is no route of escape. If we surrender the Bible, or if we set the Bible aside to try to deal with the assault from a different direction, you have given up the only thing that you have that is powerful for the proclamation of the gospel. You can't walk away from that and be faithful. You can't walk away from that without abandoning your only hope of getting somewhere in the discussion. You see, beloved, and this is hard for some people to get their arms around, because at the moment it seems like you're throwing away your opportunity, because they've said up front, I don't accept your authority. But the truth of the matter is that you do not abandon the authority of Scriptures in order to defend the faith of the Scriptures. It is precisely when that moment comes up, when that issue is on the table, it is precisely at that point when you most have to play the part of the man, stand up, and walk right into the face of that battle. You can't walk away from that fight because everything is at stake there. Because, beloved, whether anyone believes it or not, whether anyone accepts the fact or not, the objective truth is, the reality is that the Bible is the Word of God. The fact that someone questions that fact doesn't change it. And so, we accept the truth of the gospel. We accept Christianity on the testimony of the God of the universe. We accept the authority of Christianity and the gospel on the highest possible testimony there is. We accept it on the authority and the statements and the revelation of God Himself who has spoken. Not because the Bible passes some non-existent higher standard of truth. God has spoken. God has spoken. In the throne room of the universe, in Shekinah glory, God has spoken. Why do you want to go to someplace else, appeal to something else for the authority and the power and the persuasion of your argument? That's suicide. That's ridiculous. There is no higher testimony. Beloved, that is your starting point. God has spoken in the Bible, and you go from there. You reason from there. Non-Christians have their own starting point. Their own presupposition, for those of you that are looking for that word in this sermon. They either assume the authority of church tradition, or they assume the authority of science, or they assume the authority, the ultimate authority of their own feelings. This is true because it sounds good to me. Or they assume the authority of their own reason. They may not recognize it, but that's the way it is. We all have some kind of ultimate authority that we appeal to. And your job is to help the unbeliever see that.
Scripture is indeed sufficient in your witness of the gospel to others. But people don't lack evidence. They lack the will to believe. And that sin will be Pastor Don Green's focus next time on the Truth Pulpit as he continues our new series, Confident Evangelism. Plan now to be with us. Right now, though, Don's back here in studio with some closing words.
Hi, friend. Let me give you just a closing word of encouragement as we wrap up today's broadcast. I know that many of you have found us for the first time on Christian radio, and that's wonderful. But I also realize that sometimes your schedules don't let you work around the broadcast schedule. We have made it possible for you to be able to still get the Truth Pulpit on a regular basis. We have a broadcast of each radio broadcast that you can find, and you can have it automatically delivered to your favorite listening device. If you go to our website, you can find a link to the podcast, sign up for it, and be sure to catch every episode. Here's Bill to help you find it.
Just visit thetruthpulpit.com, where you can also learn more about this ministry. Once again, that's thetruthpulpit.com. Now for Don Green, I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time for more from the Truth Pulpit.